1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Oil tank trucks with United Nations flags were seen leaving the Gaza Strip and appear to be heading back into Egypt. The UN's emergency relief chief, Martin Griffith, says they're working to get the Rafah crossing open to help with humanitarian aid.
We are in deep in negotiations, have been for days, to arrange, with the help of the Egyptians and the Israelis, to get the first emergency aid into Gaza.
Secretary of State Blinken is back in Israel today. He will meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu, along with the Israeli defense minister and opposition leader. President Biden was on 60 Minutes last night and was asked by Scott Pelley,
would you support Israeli occupation of Gaza at this point?
I think it'd be a big mistake. Look, what happened in Gaza, in my view, is Hamas and the extreme elements of Hamas don't represent all the Palestinian people.
Ghazi Hamad is the political spokesman for Hamas. He lashed out at Israel's ongoing airstrikes.
You know, about 30,000 homes were destroyed. You know that about 50 entire families are deleted.
Israel says there are almost 200 people being held hostage in Gaza. There's been a spike in hate crimes here in the U.S. Police in Illinois say a 6-year-old Muslim boy was stabbed to death, his mother seriously wounded. Ahmed Rahab is with Chicago's Council on American-Islamic Relations.
He was a lovely boy who loved his family, his friends. He loved soccer. He loved basketball. And he paid the price for the atmosphere of hate.
Their 71-year-old landlord was charged. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez with details now on a new way to track a degenerative disease.
A new study finds sensors used in digital watches and smartphones do a better job of tracking Parkinson's disease than regular visits to the doctor. The research from Oxford determined sensors worn on the chest, at the base of the spine, and on each wrist and foot closely indicated progression, including the direction a toe moved during a step and the length and regularity of walking strides.
Some scary moments on the field during Sunday night football. Buffalo Bills running back Damian Harris suffered a neck injury and was carted out.
Harris is the one who is shaken up.
That from NBC. Initial tests show he's got full movement back. The frightening moments brought back memories of last season when Bills safety DeMar Hamlin collapsed on the field. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy. Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with highs around 54. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 37. Tonight, partly cloudy. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 58. Low 60s, Wednesday, upper 50s by Thursday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Locally Grown Radio, from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
It's a beautiful day at Misty's Menu, where the food is homemade and the people are friendly. The kind of place where the waitress knows your name and always greets you with a smile. The coffee is hot, the pancakes are fluffy, and the pies are homemade with love. It's not just the food, but the people who make and serve it that make Misty's Menu special. It's the kind of food that brings back memories of Sunday dinners at Grandma's house. So stop on down to Misty's Menu and experience the warmth and charm of a small-town cafe. They'll be waiting for you. Misty's Menu, Highway 13 South, Wisconsin Rapids.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta-potty. Don't let the thought of a porta-potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta potty needs, holding tanks and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
If you're looking to get in the spirit of Halloween, look no further than the Trading Post in Wisconsin Rapids. They have quality goods at affordable prices with items changing daily. Get decked out for the season at the Trading Post, the store you can get lost in.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
different families in the area, and they have really delicious items. And so you kind of want to patronize those businesses. There's going to be a story coming out today of a guy in Madison who does fruit art. So he carves watermelons and things, and they're so neat. So you kind of got to think about all the different things that they contribute to.
Oh, without a doubt. So you can look for that. Look for that story coming up at Up North News on the website and in our social media posts as well. I don't recall you ever saying that you were in any of the crowds at any Taylor Swift concert, but am I wrong? Have you been to a show in the past? Maybe
I have not. I'm not a Swiftie.
Not a Swiftie.
Okay. Emery loves Shake It Off, so we have to play that quite frequently. Mm-hmm. But there's a girl in Eau Claire at the Micon Cinemas. She painted this incredible mural for the Eras Tour movie, and it's all different faces of Taylor Swift, and it's so incredible. It took her 14 hours to create, and she's very talented, and she paints these murals for movies all of the time, and so very neat.
Oh, that is very nice. But are you going to go see the movie at some point to see the Taylor Swift concert tour?
I probably will. My niece went to it over the weekend, so you have to get tickets early, and it's going to be packed for weeks to come. They kind of predict, I think, $96 million was the box office this weekend, so it kind of did records for a concert movie, so she's now got that accolade to her name,
too.
Hold
on a minute. Did you say 90 how much? What?
90, let's see. Yep. Raked in about $96 million in the box office in the United States and Canada.
Holy cow. That's, I mean, what Hollywood studio wouldn't love that? Yeah, I'm looking at it right there. $97 million. The number two movie was The Exorcist Believer, down at $45 million. Paw Patrol still bringing in $50 million. Yep, gross. Yep, yeah. You know? I'm sorry. That's The Exorcist brought in $44 million total. For Taylor Swift, it's $97 million total because it was $97 million in the opening weekend.
It's the weekend.
and just $11 million for The Exorcist, $7 million for Paw Patrol, $6 million for Saw, $4 million for The Creator, and all these other scary... I'm not going to see any of these movies. These horror movies and things, but clearly...
We'll probably go to Paw Patrol. I'll report back on that.
Oh, without a doubt. I've got grandsons who, if I had the time, we would totally be doing that. And I see Hocus Pocus is on here. Is that the, do they do a remake, or is that the original that's in theaters for Halloween?
Don't know if that's out. A year ago, the second one came out, but I don't.
Maybe that's it. I just know my daughters were big into Hocus Pocus, the original one, when it came out. So I didn't know if it was coming in back in theaters. And look at this, the Barbie movie and Oppenheimer are still in the top 15, you know, movies. Now, in both cases, it was less than $1 million that they took in over the weekend. But let's see. Oppenheimer is now up to $323 million gross. And Barbie, $635 million that movie has made at the box office since it opened.
Well, we went to that twice.
Well, that's why, you know, it's people like you who are driving up those numbers. Well, because there was also the movie about child trafficking. It was a kind of controversial. There were all these claims that all these tickets were sold, but then the theaters were empty. So it was just a case of groups that were buying up the tickets, but not necessarily going. That could definitely not be said about Barbie, and I'm sure that cannot be said about the Taylor Swift concert tour movie.
No, and I think in large part it's because for those who can't get tickets to the concert, or kind of priced out of it, actually, you know, really, this is just like going to a concert, and that's kind of why she wanted to make it. So,
well, and you can really do that today because of the technology. I mean, the theater screens and the surround sound systems are such that, again, you're not at the concert, but you're not going to. You're as good as you're ever going to get when it comes to a concert film, you know, that makes you feel like the experience.
Right. And it does look like it. You know, I've seen clips and it looks like you're at her concert. So it works.
Yeah, no doubt it does. All right. Selena Heller's work can be found over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, UpNorthNewsWI on social media. Look for all of her posts there. And we visit with her on Monday mornings to find out more. Selena, thanks so much. We'll talk to you a little later on.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You too. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Cabby Hong, an educator who's going to talk about controversial books in schools, that these are things that don't, you know, appear willy-nilly, that educators have a process when it comes to age-appropriate material. And so we'll learn much more from an educator standpoint coming up right after this break. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be right back.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today with highs around 54. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 37. Tonight, partly cloudy. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 58. Low 60s. Wednesday, upper 50s by Thursday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
As mentioned earlier during today's history lesson and music break, Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life was the number one album this day in 1976. Cami Hong was a 2022 National Teacher of the Year, an English teacher at Verona Area High School. Some 20 years of teaching experience, a National Board Certified Teacher, has given presentations for the New York Times on argumentative writing, has received awards from Stanford University and the University of Chicago for his effectiveness as a teacher, came highly recommended as a good person to talk to about the experience and the process of choosing the literature that we talk about in our classrooms, the books that are in our school libraries. And so we are very thrilled that Cami Hong is willing and able to join us on what's going to be a busy day of parent-teacher conferences, he tells me today. Cami, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
It's so nice to have you here. Thank you so much for doing it, especially, like you said, on a long day. But, you know, I actually want to start with that before we get to the books themselves. Part of what we have had to hear in the political discourse over the past, I don't know, 5 years or so, is this thing about so-called, you know, parents' rights and parent involvement. And as we've said many times on this show, and I'm sure you have in your life as well, there's never been a shortage of ways for parents to become more involved in their kids' school activities or for adults overall to learn more about what's happening in their schools. It doesn't sound to me like you're running any kind of a secret society over there.
No, not at all. In fact, you know, most teachers, if you talk to them, would love to have parents involved and coming in and absolutely are open to sharing our curriculum and sharing our readings. In fact, we actively talk about how we would love to have our parents reading the books that their children are reading as well. So, absolutely.
So when we hear a lot that is said now about, you know, book bans or just controversies about books, what I typically get from the talking points is that somehow these controversial books with controversial themes mm-hmm. just either magically showed up on the shelves with or in the classrooms with virtually no oversight. It caught people off guard, or that there were even more nefarious purposes for putting, you know, what they view as pornographic material on the shelves. And I want to get to the process. And I know that it's not, you know, one single process, but for a teacher or a group of teachers to decide that this book works in this curriculum, or mm-hmm. for somebody in a school library to determine that, you know, this is a book that should go on the shelves or should be in the library but behind a desk. Again, there are processes. These things don't happen out of the blue, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. In fact, the first step in the process is really for teachers to think about our kids and how best to meet their needs. We also then take a look at the overall goals for the course. And then we look at the state standards. And if you look at the Wisconsin state standards, it's very clear. One of them specifically states that you need to explain how an author's geographic location, identity, and culture affect perspective. Act 31 in Wisconsin also requires that the identities of Black Americans, Hispanic, and Native Americans is also represented in the curriculum itself. So, you know, as teachers, we absolutely take a look at the state standards. We look at the state statutes, but we also look at best practices. And best practices really say that we need a diverse curriculum representing multiple perspectives because we live in a diverse world. And so to best prepare our kids for the diverse world that they're going to be entering in, they need to develop skills in terms of empathy, looking at the world through someone else's eyes. And that's the beautiful thing about books and why books are so incredibly powerful.
And it is not so much, I sense, about, you know, telling a child, a student, what to think, so much as the exposure to diversity of experiences builds those critical thinking skills and helps them, you know, reach conclusions on how they see other people, how they see events in history. And again, that is in no way, shape, or form indoctrination, unless by indoctrination you mean teaching facts. But we're not even talking about facts when we're talking about just different perspectives from people who may not look like you or have the same background as you, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, anyone that's worked with or interacted with a teenager knows you can't make a teenager really do anything that they don't want to. And so I think, you know, when you look at what the world that kids are living in nowadays, it's a very diverse world. They look at the media that they consume. So much of the media now is represented by, you know, young women as action heroes, or a young Puerto Rican man playing Alexander Hamilton in a musical. And so when you think about like the diverse world that our kids are in, our curriculum really needs to reflect that.
I want to turn now to part of the topic that might be a little uncomfortable for some folks. So I'm going to let you know ahead of time. We're going to talk about the matters related to sexuality and gender. Because again, when it comes to books and materials that are made available, the most important reason I wanted to have somebody like you on was because when we've talked in the past about, you know, Banned Books Week and things like that, most of the emails that I get from people who disagree with the premise, almost all of them say, well, we need this because somebody has to watch out for pornography, that this is nothing but pornography in our classrooms. This is nothing but pornography in our libraries, and somebody should be watching out for that, which to me sounds like somebody else getting to define what pornography is. When we get to matters of sexuality and gender, I would have to think that not only are you already taking a process that you're already using for history, for diversity, for literature, but you're ramping it up a degree to make sure that whatever materials are there aren't pornographic so much as what? Educational, experiential? How do we define that?
Well, I think you have to understand that these book bans are never about pornography. The American Library Association recently reported that in 2023, almost half of their book challenges have occurred in public libraries, not school libraries. So these extremists who want to ban books, they want to ban books and ideas and identities, not just for kids, but for all people. And I think that's the most disturbing part, is really the attacks on our public library system as well. And when you look at the books that they consider to be pornographic, these are books that have been on library shelves and school curriculums oftentimes for decades. You know, one of the books is Beloved by Toni Morrison. It's a Pulitzer Prize-winning book written by a Nobel Prize-winning author. And yet somehow this book is considered to be pornographic now. And when you really look at the history of book banning in our country, these activists and extremists, what they're doing is nothing new. I mean, we've had book bans since the very beginning of our country. And oftentimes the language that's been used is trying to protect children from pornography. And unfortunately, when you look at the authors that are being banned, they disproportionately are authors of color and members of the LGBTQ community. And so really, the issue is not pornography, because when you look at a lot of the, quote, classic literature pieces, for example, like Canterbury Tales, or when you look at like for examples of Shakespeare or some of the Greek mythology, they are full of sexual material. And yet none of those seemingly are challenged as being pornographic. And so when you really look at the target for many of these extremists, it's really about erasing the identities of marginalized groups and groups that they're just not comfortable hearing from.
And then we get into the notion of young people who are wrestling with their own identities and are in need of answers or of somebody to talk to or material that will provide them with information, because as much as some people would love to believe in the universal benevolence of parents, fact of the matter is there are plenty of students who either don't get support from their parents when questions need to be answered. There may be neglectful or even abusive situations where a teacher or somebody in that classroom, you know, is the role model. And some people don't like to hear that, but that just is the case. And so how important is it that there are materials available even if not on a shelf, but at least able to hand to a student to say, you may have questions about something. Here is something of a certain degree of quality that has been reviewed that could address your questions or concerns. How important is that as opposed to getting answers off the street or off the internet?
Well, Pat, I'll start with a very personal example. When I was growing up, I grew up in a small rural community, about 5,000 people. And I hated being Asian American. And I hated being Asian American because I never saw anyone that looked like me in any of the TV shows or movies or books that I consumed. And I really longed to have somebody that looked like me in a book that I would have read in a high school. I didn't even know Asian Americans wrote literature until I graduated from college and I read Joy Luck Club by Amy Tan on my own. It wasn't even part of a school curriculum. And so for so many kids, books are not only mirrors where they can kind of see themselves, but there are also windows into someone else's culture or perspectives. And that's why books are so incredibly powerful and they can be incredibly affirming. For many of our kids, they are struggling with their own sense of identity. Think back to when you were a teenager and you're dealing with, like, who am I? And for so many of our marginalized kids, especially our kids of color and especially our LGBTQ kids, you know, seeing themselves affirmed in a book is something that is incredibly life-saving for many kids, because we know about the mental health toll that especially our LGBTQ kids have in terms of not being able to see that their identities are being affirmed. And I can't, as teachers, for so many of us, you know, we are trying to meet the needs of our kids, the kids that are in front of us, and making sure that all kids feel welcome in our classrooms.
And Cabby, to bring it full circle back to the parents then, for parents and adults in a district perhaps, who have a concern, maybe they've either seen something that their child is potentially going to be reading or working on or hear about it secondhand, there are steps short of showing up at a school board meeting with torches and pitchforks, right? What are the best steps for parents to do when they have questions or concerns?
Well, I would start, first of all, with reading the book. I've been teaching for 23 years, and I can count on one hand the number of parents who have opted out of a book that we are teaching in class. And the very first question that I always ask parents is, have you read the book? Because a lot of times parents will be concerned because of rumors that they've heard about the book, or someone will pull one quote out of context. And so I always ask the parents, have you read the book? And usually after they've read the book, they understand the totality of the book itself. And usually they're okay with it. But even if a parent isn't okay with that, is totally appropriate. You know, and we will make an accommodation. We will find an alternative text. We will work with that parent to make sure that their child feels comfortable and then they feel comfortable as well. And so there's always been a process in every school that I've worked in to provide options for parents and for kids who may not want to read a book or feel like their child is ready to have these conversations. But I think what's most alarming about a lot of these extremists is that they don't want any child reading a book. And I think that is one area that I'm really offended as an English teacher, that it's okay for you to say that, you know, I don't want my child reading this book. But for you to say no child should be reading this book, I think is deeply troubling, because there's nothing more un-American than a book ban.
Cabby Hong is Wisconsin's 2022 Teacher of the Year from Verona Area High School. Cabby, this was a real honor. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us much more detail from a responsible educator standpoint. It is greatly appreciated. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.
You bet. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will join us with three things you need to know to start the week as we can get our work week reset on this Monday morning, October 16th. Then coming up next is Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Green Bay, and Racine, Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, Hayward, and Oshkosh, Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids, so much more still ahead across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Monday.
Don't be chicken. Hunt and peck your way over to wiscountry.com/chicken to vote on the new name for the WIRI logo. We've narrowed it down to three choices, and we need you to vote for your favorite. It's easy. Go to wiscountry.com/chicken, enter your name and email address, and put the names in order, starting with the one you like best. Voting closes October 26th. Then tune into the Sunrise Show from 7 to 8 on Halloween to find out the winner. Help us name that chicken and keep listening to Wiscountry on 105.5 WIRI.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Terry Bell is the news director of this here Civic Media Radio Network, and he joins us each week on Mondays to talk about three things you should know to start the week, kind of a mental reset on headlines. We've covered some of the news stories here throughout the past couple of hours, but this is a good chance in one fell swoop to see what should be at the top of your level of awareness when it comes to news this week. Terry, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
Very good. We're going to get to those stories in just a sec, but I know of no bigger fan in my circle of UW women's volleyball than you. Yeah. And to see that they are now off to a best ever 17-0 start is tells you we've got quite the national juggernaut going on here.
We really do. It's really exciting to watch. They rolled through a couple of opponents this weekend, Maryland and Rutgers, which was not a big surprise. But I think one thing to take away from that that's very encouraging is we were without Devin Robinson all weekend, and that's she's one of our best players. And other players stepped up and responded, Diana Smrek in particular. And yeah, the Badgers have won, not only have they won 17 games and lost none so far this year, but they have won 27 straight sets. So you have anywhere from 3 to 5 sets in a volleyball match. They haven't lost a set in 27 sets. I think you'd have to go all the way back to the Florida batch, which was like getting on to close to a month ago.
Yeah, you're right. I'm scrolling up. Oh, yeah. It was against Florida on September 17th. So it's been about a month. And they took it three matches to two in Florida, you know, on the road. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was 3-1 over Marquette in Milwaukee. And yeah, they've just been rattling off set after set since then. They do Ohio State at the Fieldhouse this Wednesday, 7 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. And then Saturday, they will be in Lincoln to take on number 2 ranked Nebraska, also on the Big Ten Network. That's going to be something to watch.
That'll be the match of the year so far. Number 1 versus number 2. And yeah, two undefeated teams, which are just juggernauts right now. It's going to be a real battle.
So look for that this week from the Badger Volleyball Women. Mm-hmm. Turning to things you need to know this week. Obviously, the war between Israel and Hamas is you know, center stage. It's going to be for some time to come here where, you know, I grew up, you and I grew up with a much, you know, there's Cold War, there's hot war. We grew up in hotter times where there was, you know, war in Lebanon and there was, you know, the Yom Kippur War and all that. And things have been relatively quiet by comparison, but I sense we're in an era now where it's going to stay hot for a little while here.
And this particular crisis is looking to amp up soon. Israel is poised to launch a ground invasion of Gaza, so this is going to turn into a full-blown ground war pretty soon. So far, we had a terrorist attack and missile attack followed by other reactions, cutting off water to Gaza, which has now been reversed. And it'll be a full-blown ground war soon, it's looking.
And that's...
Oh, so it's Calvin?
Yeah, what's up?
So Gilbert's not going to be able to be seen?
I sent him a new link.
Oh, hey, Gilbert? He said he sent you a new link. When did you send it to him?
Like... 2 minutes ago.
2 minutes ago. You got to go to that new link.
His text just said, we switched to a new live stream platform. That's the new link. But I ain't no new link on here.
Hey, Calvin, he said there is no new link. He got your message, but the link is not there.
I'll resend it. I don't know why it wouldn't
be there. He said he's going
to
resend it, Gilbert. He said email it to him.
Okay.
Here's my email that he needs to send it to.
Do you have his email?
I think so. Give me one sec.
He said it's the same email, but change the number to 54.
Okay.
Okay, man. I know, man. Hey, Gilbert, you know... I'm getting that thing for Crudy, man. That blows my mind. I can't believe he said that, man. He's supposed to be my boy, man.
Hey, Errol. I don't have his email, actually.
Okay, Gilbert, give me the email. Give me your email. 54. Go ahead. Give it to me again, Gilbert. GB Grave 54
at gmail.com.
Okay. Hey, Calvin.
Yep.
GB Grave 54 at gmail.com.
Okay, cool. I got it.
Okay. Yeah, man, I guess Gilbert, he probably ain't been able to.
Jordan, since Steve Scalise dropped out. So this is where we are at. Jordan wants a vote tomorrow because he thinks that will pressure moderates to come over to his side. We'll see if that's an effective strategy or not.
Oh, I don't think that's where I'm already seeing headlines that say it's backfiring, that moderates are saying you're not going to jam us with this. And it is, I don't know that I've ever seen such a case in political news of the saying, the tail wagging the dog, mm-hmm. because we're talking about roughly 8 House Republicans who, instead of them being pressured to support a moderate, are trying to pressure all of these moderates to support, you know, one of their own on the fringe. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it to this degree in politics anyplace.
Yeah, well, it's the new paradigm, I guess, is that, you know, politics used to be the art of the half loaf, of getting what you can mm-hmm. now, and now compromise is seen as a dirty word, and it's all or nothing in the minds of many people who are in the public arena now.
Oh, especially when you have access to, you know, your own specially branded cable channel for that niche of an audience. It just makes it that much tougher. Compromise is seen as weakness. And so that's why this is something we may be following for a while. What may be wrapped up a lot faster, somewhat surprisingly to me, is that the Brewers stadium renovation, you know, state and local funding end of it, that bill has been modified and looks like it may get some wheels this week.
It passed in committee late last week, and it goes to the full assembly floor tomorrow, and it has widespread backing. The governor is behind this version. The county executive and the mayor in Milwaukee are behind this. So there appears to be very little to stop this bill from becoming the state bill that maintains American Family Field and keeps the Brewers in Milwaukee. It lessens the contribution from the local governments, being Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. It winterizes the ballpark. You'll see more things happening year-round if this becomes law, and it likely will.
So Calvin?
Yeah.
He has to download Chrome. Is
there any doubt that it was going to happen, as I've said on this
show, so, in our conversations on Monday morning? This and he's in the Gilbert, does the show.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.